Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm excited to bring you another episode of Fellowship Talks. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everyone.
Amy, it's so good to see you. You look a little tired today. I know that's a dangerous thing for a guy to say to a lady. I know, but you're right in the middle of ministry.
We are. It's really great, though. It's that good kind of tired.
It is.
So
yes.
We're in the middle of launching all of our ministries, D groups, women's ministry, men's, midweek, all the things have been launching. And it really is a season of connection for us here at Fellowship. And I always enjoy that time when everyone kind of comes back together after summer and is together in community, connecting with one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm excited about this podcast today. We have a chance to introduce two of our new staff, Tyler Vance from Cabot and Stephen Brannon, who's working on the West Little campus, but is part of our care team that serves all of our campuses for Fellowship. Before we get to them, Amy, there's something that that's on my heart this morning that I just wanted to share with our church real quick. As many people know, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and there's been some news lately just coming out of the media and different outlets about some prominent suicides or prominent people who have committed suicide. And I just wanted to take just a moment to address our church as a body around suicidal thoughts or mental illness just for a second. There's a lot of people that can struggle with suicidal thoughts, just like many of the other mental illnesses. But it can have a serious effect on people regardless of gender, age. And in fact, suicide is often a result of untreated mental illnesses. And I guess what I want to say is that if you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, even as you listen to this podcast, if you've experienced those this week, if you're struggling with that, if you're feeling broken or lost or unseen, and you don't know who to talk to, any of us here at Fellowship would love to talk to you. We want you to know that you're not alone, first of all, that there are people that would love to talk with you, that would love to walk with you. Our care team here at Fellowship, any one of us on staff, Amy, you and me, we'd love to sit down and talk with someone. Please give us a call because this is a serious issue in our culture today. It's almost glorified. And we want to push back on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word, Dan. Thanks for sharing that. And I do just agree that we don't want anybody to feel alone in that. And just even as we were talking about connection a minute ago, that we really want to be a place where we can connect with you, that we can encourage you, and we are available.
That's right. That's right. And there's hope, too. Jesus is our hope. And we don't say that flippantly. God wrote in Isaiah, he said, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And Jesus even said in the New Testament, he said, "I have come that you may experience life and that you may experience it to the full." And we believe that, but we also know that at times people struggle and they feel like they're alone. And and if you're in that place, we just want you to reach out to us. There's no stigma around it. Please just reach out to us. That's actually, Amy, that's a really good transition into introducing Stephen Brannon because he is part of our care team. And Stephen, we're just really glad to have you here with us on the podcast. We want to get to know you today and say hey to you.
Yeah, Dan, thanks so much for having me. It's really surreal to be here, to be sitting at the table for a podcast recording on a podcast that I've listened to for months. It's really surreal to be here. Very cool.
Awesome. And you have a little podcast experience yourself. You're a pro at podcasting and recording yourself
I
and
didn't
listening
know
to
yourself.
Pro is an intense term. Maybe like AAA might be more accurate. But yeah, the previous church I served, we started a podcast. We just simply called it Faith in Culture. And it was an attempt to address cultural issues, current affairs and understanding how to be faithful Christ followers in the midst of our culture. And so really enjoyed doing that, giving our pastor and pastors a chance to speak to the church family and the community at large. And I had the privilege to host that. But I also had a poster of Dan in my office. I'm in no way, shape, or form as good as he is. Always wanted to be like him. So
I just picked the wrong moment to take a drink of water. Well, Stephen, I'm glad you're here sitting with us this morning. We're going to get to know you a little bit more. Yep. We're going to have you introduce your family a little bit. But we also have sitting here Tyler Vance. Tyler is the newest discipleship pastor on our Cabot campus. Tyler, really good to have you here with us this morning.
Yeah, good morning, Dan. Thanks you and Amy for having me. And unlike Stephen, I'm a podcast rookie, but I'm so excited to be with you guys to talk a little more about Cabot, about what we're doing, all that God's doing there. So it's a great time to be on staff in Cabot.
Yeah, yeah. And you come from, you have a unique story, a pathway into ministry. You haven't been a career pastor. You haven't been in ministry as a career your whole life. And so we'll talk a little bit about that too, what that transition looked like for you guys. So
yeah, I'd love to do that.
So Tyler, first of all, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your family?
Sure. My wife, Angie, who is great. We've been married 25 years. I've got four sons. Jared's my oldest. He's in college. He's a sophomore at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. Then I've got a high school senior this year, Seth, and a high school sophomore, Ian, and then a seventh grader at Cabot Junior High School South, Ian. So we've got four boys, and they're great. We love them dearly and correct them occasionally.
Awesome. Well, how long has your family been around Fellowship?
So we started coming to Fellowship in Cabot about 13 years ago as the campus there started, and we've seen God really do some amazing things. It's been a blessing to us to make that move to Fellowship then and really be a part of it.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So you guys are big time sports fans with your kids in sports and different things like that.
Basketball is the sport of choice for us. We support the Cabot High School Panther football team. We'll be there this Friday night for their second game and rooting them on for a win. But all my sons have played basketball, and I played basketball for a couple years in college at Wichita Baptist University. So basketball has always been the sport of choice for us.
Another Wichita grad.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. Most of our staff comes from Wichita.
I know. It's very true.
I'm proud to say that I did not, and you
did
not
either,
Amy. Yes, that's right. We have other roots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll still take you, Tyler. We're glad you're here.
No, thank you.
Stephen, tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So, Becca and I have been married 11 years this October, and we were actually married here at Fellowship in the chapel. It was October of 2008, not long after this campus opened. And so that's pretty special to be serving specifically in the chapel on Sundays, in the very chapel where we were married. I'm a lot less nervous on Sundays than I was that Saturday in October. But we have two boys. Cooper is 5 and Brooks is 2. They're both in their preschool and little two-year-old programs here in Little Rock and loving being in Little Rock. We were in Memphis this last 12 years and loved being there, enjoyed our time in Memphis, have some great friends, ate a lot of great barbecue, listened to a lot of great music. But both Becca and I are from Arkansas originally and have roots here, so it's a bit of a homecoming, and that's been pretty special.
So you got married here and then moved to Memphis to do ministry there. And so what were you doing ministry-wise in Memphis?
Yeah, yeah. So I had the privilege to serve at the same church for those 12 years. I like to make the joke that I was the intern who never left. I came on staff as an intern in seminary, went to Memphis originally for seminary at Mid-America Baptist, and then joined the staff as a college intern. But then in God's providence, door after door continued to open, and I became an associate pastor there at Faith Baptist. And the last 4 years or so was a care and counseling pastor. So I went back to school to pursue a doctorate of ministry in biblical counseling and had the incredible privilege to prioritize biblical counseling, small group care and support, and those kinds of things there at Faith. And that, in addition to my wife being a full-time nurse who she saw as a ministry there at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and how God used her as a missionary in the marketplace with those families. And so we loved our time there, loved being, at that church there in Memphis.
Yeah, that's awesome. So y'all have been here how long?
We've been here since July. July 1st was my first day, mm-hmm. and came over this summer, which was a great time to transition. But it's been a bit of an adventure. We just missed the spring housing rush, and so we've found ourselves continuing to look for a house, living with our in-laws, which has been awesome.
Yeah, you have to say that,
because I love my in-laws and they might listen yeah. to this podcast. It's been awesome. But I will say, the day that I volunteered to mow the grass, I noticed my father-in-law started watering the grass twice a day. I don't know if it was a coincidence or if that was on purpose, but no, we've loved living there. But we are ready for our own spot to watch college mm-hmm. football and have a backyard to play in, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. Well, why don't you share with us a little bit, what does your ministry as far as being a part of the care team look like for all of Fellowship?
Yeah. Well, I've got to start by saying we've got an incredible care team. Mm-hmm. It's more than mm-hmm. just what meets the eye. It is a practically 24/7 commitment from our care team to be there for congregational care, to be there for anyone that's going through a particular life challenge, a seasonal challenge, you know, a season of grief or a season of addiction or whatever the case may be. But even not the extremes, we also have a commitment to ministering in the context of funerals or in weddings or, you know, different things like that, mm-hmm. that come up from time to time. And so we do all of those kind of big rock things. And then in addition to that, are committed to a biblical counseling schedule every week. We want to meet with people. We want to meet people where they are in life. Typically, biblical counseling is going to be for a season or a reason. The reason's like addiction or, you know, like I said, someone might have lost a job or gone through a divorce. And maybe that season includes grief, or it includes parenthood, or, you know, something like that. And so we want to be a team that cares for people where they are, no matter what season or experience in life they're having. And so it's an honor to be a part of a team. We're a team of, I guess, six of us right now, and looking forward to continuing to minister as care pastors to this body.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yeah. Tyler, why don't you tell us a little bit about your transition into Fellowship? What did you do before Fellowship, and why Fellowship?
Sure.
There's a lot to that, those two questions.
There is a lot. There is a lot there. So I spent about 23 years in the financial services industry, most recently at Bank of the Ozarks, which had a name change to Bank OZK. And when I left mm-hmm. there, I was the chief operating officer. And I think I must like the letter C, because I actually got an accounting degree at Ouachita and then became a certified public accountant. Then I went to work for a small community bank in Cabot as the chief financial officer, and then I came to Bank of the Ozarks, and then Bank OZK as a chief banking officer, and then ultimately the chief operating officer. So I like the letter C, and I like to say now that I'm kind of a chief connections officer, and that I get to connect people to mm-hmm. God, and I get the opportunity to connect people to other people through our small groups, our mm-hmm. discipleship groups here at Fellowship. So that's really where I'm spending my time. I came on staff in the 1st of June, mm-hmm. and we've got a number of great discipleship group leaders there in Cabot. I had the opportunity to really get to know them over the summer months, and then, as Amy was saying earlier, we had the opportunity to kind of launch our small groups this week in mm-hmm. Cabot. So that's been going really well.
So, Tyler, tell us what led to that transition for mm-hmm. you from yeah. banking world to ministry.
You were really humble about how you just said
and
that.
Not meaning you didn't have ministry in the banking world. You mm-hmm. did. But what mm-hmm. what led to that transition from the banking yeah. world into church ministry?
You know, there's so many people that kind of discipled me along the way and planted the seeds for that act of obedience and really following God's call into ministry. But what really gripped my heart in the recent years was where I was storing up treasures. And, you know, Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew to store up our treasures in heaven, where they will have eternal value and eternal significance. And I really wanted more of the treasures that I was storing up to be those that would matter for all of eternity. And so God really gripped my heart with that. And it was a call that I couldn't escape, as God often does when he puts a call on us on our lives. And I answered that, and I'm so glad that I did. So much joy and a rich blessing has come from responding to that.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler, you work closely with our adult discipleship team in West Little Rock as you care for discipleship in the Cabot area. So it's been really good to get to know you and spend time with you and see your heart for that campus there in Cabot.
Yeah, it's been great, Dan, and I'll say you're a heck of a horseshoe player, too. You and Bill Parkinson, y'all were so kind to take me on the adult discipleship retreat and just wear me out at horseshoes, so I really appreciate that.
See,
as well.
I have hidden talents that people need to know about, and horseshoes happens to be one of those.
Clearly.
So I'm up for the challenge if anyone wants to challenge me to horseshoes. So, speaking of hidden talents, Stephen, do you have any hidden talents you need to share, need to tell us about?
Gosh, I'm not sure that I have any hidden
besides
talents.
Besides podcast hosting, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so besides that, I don't know that I necessarily have any outside of the ability to juggle. Sometimes people are impressed by that or excited by that. It's come in handy as a father to be able to entertain when kids are losing their minds at Chick-fil-A or something like that.
You but, just pick up whatever objects
whatever
you see
objects,
and
the more dangerous, the better, I think. But no hidden talents. Getting into the groove of enjoying friendships here at Fellowship. I've had the chance to play some golf, played golf with you and a couple of other guys. That's what I love about the staff here at Fellowship is it is who you think they are, that we are the same on Sunday mornings as we are every other day of the week. No one's perfect, but you're not going to have a mask or a facade on Sunday of people going through the motions. But we really are friends and a staff family that hang out together, go grab a bite to eat together or something like that during the week. So have had fun with those hobbies, whether it's golf or just going to lunch with different folks and how no one is siloed here at Fellowship either. That's been a huge blessing that it's not, this is us and ours and y'all do your thing. And if we cross paths and that's great, but it's been a family experience here on the staff.
Yeah. Tyler, you mentioned that you played basketball in college.
Yeah.
Do you still play basketball? What are some of your interests? What's that look like?
Yeah, so I still play basketball a little bit. I really stick to more of the games like horse and some of the shooting games, especially since my senior in high school can now beat me routinely in one-on-one. So we try to play games that I can still be victorious in occasionally.
Smart dad.
There you go.
You got to maintain that control over him, you know.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, tell us about what's your go-to date for with your wife.
Yeah.
Wow. You want to go first, Stephen?
Yeah, because I can tell you, my go-to date is anywhere with cheese dip. Anywhere with cheese dip, and my wife will love it automatically. She loves cheese dip, so we are a big fan of On the Border. We're a big fan of Chewy's. Like I said, just about anywhere that serves great cheese dip.
Isn't there a cheese dip festival coming up in Little Rock soon?
I don't know when it is, but
I think I heard
always wanted to go because I've heard how awesome it is that people take their muffin tins and go and get all the different cheese dips so you can try them all.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
That does sound amazing.
That sounds like
seriously.
A good
day. Yeah, so we're big, big fans of Poncho's cheese dip. They don't pay me to say that, but that's our go-to. They should now. They're at the house. And so, anything with Poncho's. We love barbecue, obviously, coming from Memphis. So we're out and about at the different barbecue places here. But we're pretty laid back. Nothing too fancy. It's usually, something like that. Now that we have kids, it's anywhere that we don't have to cut up the food. And it's more than chicken nuggets because that's our season of life right now.
Yes.
Awesome.
You know, we're not real exciting. It's going to be dinner and a movie for us is probably the ideal night out and just the ability to spend some time together and decompress a little bit and have great conversation is really what we like to do.
Isn't it amazing how when you just get out of your house together and go sit down at a table across from one another, how much better your conversation can be without all the distractions and
so important and it's definitely that way for us.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are in different seasons with your kids. Tell us about what's your favorite thing to do with your kids right now in the season that you're in.
Put them down for bedtime? No. Just kidding.
Sorry, kids.
Definitely. Definitely really enjoy any time that, especially Cooper, our oldest at five, starts to become curious and ask questions and have a conversation. We do Bible stories every night, and we were circling back through his children's Bible for the 100th time and came to the story of creation and then the fall. And Cooper asked, he said, "Daddy, what does temptation mean?" And so to get to talk through that, but not just tell him information, but get feedback from him, mm-hmm. or when he does open up about maybe an experience at school that day or something like that. And so I obviously enjoy throwing the football, or he loves playing old school. We got the Nintendo out, so he's digging some Super Mario Brothers and that kind of thing. But anytime he starts to open up, I really love that about fatherhood and love the chance to answer questions and learn what's going on in his heart and mind. And he's a pretty tender guy too, so he really processes when something goes poorly or he hears bad news. We were watching the news the other night after Hurricane Dorian hit, and so he's processing, gosh, flooding and houses and all of that. And so
you mentioned Bible stories every night. What does that look like? Is there specific material that you use, or do you kind of just go on your own with it? What's that look like for your family?
No, that's great, and we're definitely wanting to figure that out as we go. But right now at 5, we are simply taking a children's Bible. The name escapes me, but it's got an app that goes with it as well, so that if and when we ever need screen time in an emergency, we can at least redeem it by connecting it to the scriptures. But every night, it's just a story from the scriptures that we read to the boys, and I'll be honest, our two-year-old is typically all over the map.
Oh,
he's not sitting still, not listening really well, more interested in a stuffed animal or what mommy's doing at the foot of the bed. But it's still amazing because we believe that that soaks in, you know, in that language. Even our two-year-old knows the word Bible, and he knows, okay, now it's time to read the Bible. And it's just been amazing that even the most simple of stories, that would be my takeaway or my encouragement is just the most simple of stories, the most simple of Bible studies can make a really profound, really big difference. Just a real quick point in case is he made a point the other night, our five-year-old. So Satan was a serpent in the creation story, but then in the story of Jesus being tempted, the illustration showed Satan as a character with a hoodie on and, you know, kind of this dark character. Mm-hmm. And so how can Satan be both a snake and this human figure in the story of Matthew 4? And so I would have never dreamed that he was paying that close attention.
He's really connecting.
But he is, you know, and so that's what I would say to parents, and that's what I would say our experience has been, is just don't underestimate what a simple Bible story does every night, whether they're fully engaged or not. It's really soaking in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I've learned not to be afraid of those interesting observations that my kids can make because they see the world so differently and they notice things that I would never notice.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to seeing that I don't even think about it anymore. Yeah. And it's fun to have those kind of conversations.
Definitely. I think it's fun, and it's funny because with my wife as a nurse, anytime someone at our house has a boo-boo, go see your mother. And anytime they ask, well, you know, what about heaven? My wife is like, well, go ask your father. These are the theological questions. So she doesn't. That's our house.
Yeah. Tyler, what do you like to do with your kids?
A lot of water activities for us. I've got a couple that really like to fish, and so we'll wade through a lot of rivers and streams and try to catch some smallmouth bass. Or, you know, I've got a couple that like to kneeboard and maybe go tubing. So we spend some time at the lake.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, so as we start to close this podcast with you guys, why don't you tell us just individually, what is your philosophy for ministry, or what gets you excited about ministry, specifically working with people in a church context?
You know, for me, Dan, I would say it's just seeing people's lives transformed, you know, really seeing maybe some of the Bible knowledge that has been invested in them really come to life through maybe acts of service or really getting on mission with us at Fellowship Cabot and really making a difference through maybe an opportunity in the community that we present. Maybe it's through some other service project going on. But I really love to see people's lives transformed. And obviously, people coming to know Christ, gosh, and baptisms. I mean, I love to celebrate baptisms at Fellowship Cabot and people taking that next step of obedience in their walk with Christ. And we've seen a number of those, and it's just so awesome to see. Every time I see it, I get excited about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So thinking about ministry philosophy in the context of counseling, I think it always begins with an excitement around redemption. and how there is a redemption at the point of salvation, but then how also the Holy Spirit can redeem individuals in the throes of depression, individuals in the throes of addiction. There is a victory-claiming God who can redeem us no matter how far we think we've strayed, no matter how deep we think we are in a sin or in a situation. And so I get very excited about helping people, being used by God to see the redeeming work of God in their lives, and not just at the point of salvation, but through the sanctification process. And then from there, what I also get excited about is the kind of the twofold: educate and empower. So the Holy Spirit is going to educate us through the Scriptures, but then that empowers us to be active Christ followers, not just, hey, don't sin, say your prayers, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. But what is the Scriptures going to teach you, show you, educate you, so then you can be empowered to be the most influential and the most effective Christ follower possible.
That's really good. I'm just sitting with that for just a second with what you said there, Steve, and educate and empower.
Yeah.
Those aren't two words that I would usually put in place as I'm reading through the Scripture, and pray that the Holy Spirit would educate and empower me, but I like that a lot.
Yeah, I just can't even get over, I think it's going to be in John 14, where either 12 or 14, forgive me, that I've learned, by the way, if you can't remember a scripture, you just start to zoom out. You know,
That's
in the book of John,
that's right.
Somewhere in the New Testament it says...
You got to be careful, because you can't just say the Bible says.
Right? Yeah, right, so you stop there. So, so in the book of John, I believe it's 14, Jesus would talk about greater things than these you will do. And you think, man, Jesus walked on water, water to wine, healing the blind, but that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is an empowerment that comes with the Holy Spirit, not just you're forgiven, now don't mess it up, don't blow it, but gosh, we are meant to thrive with the power of the Holy Spirit and making a difference in the world around us.
That's good. That's good. Well, I'm really excited to have both of you guys here at Fellowship. Thank you for coming on, joining the podcast today so that all of our church can get to know you guys. Most often on a Sunday morning, you can find Tyler at the Cabot campus. Tyler's even wearing his Cabot t-shirt.
He
forgot the memo.
He's representing that out.
He forgot he didn't get the memo that this is a podcast. It's audio only. But you can find Tyler on the Cabot campus at the Connection Center.
Absolutely. Love to see any of you Kaboshians there at the Connection Center, even this Sunday.
Kaboshians.
I have never
heard that.
I wanted to make sure we got that in there.
All right. Awesome. Nice job, Tyler. And most often you can find Stephen on the West Little Rock campus, probably leading the chapel service.
Yeah. I really love being in the chapel with the chapelites. I think that's what we're going with. And getting to know them, engaging with them, or in the Connection Center, should anyone happen to be listening who's not yet a member or has questions about Fellowship, we love to meet you there.
Well, welcome to the team, guys. Glad you guys have been on board for a few months. Amy, this is just another opportunity to allow people here at Fellowship, or give people here at Fellowship, an opportunity to get to know some of our staff, some of our great staff that we have here. I always love getting a chance to get to know new staff because they bring so much life and perspective.
So true. I love it too. I love just hearing you guys and your hearts for the Lord, your hearts for people and for ministry. And it's exciting when we have new staff on board.
Yeah. Guys, thank you for being here. Until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.